Hey guys, sorry for the delay in episodes. We ran into a couple of technical snafus and some scheduling problems with DragCon and whatnot. Also, a bit of a disclaimer, this episode does have a few audio issues, but we figured you'd rather have content than nothing, than a void. So without further ado, here is episode 7.
My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Money Exchange.
And this is Sibling Rivalry.
This week, we interview Mayhem Miller and Dusty Ray Bottoms.
We've discussed where 106 and Park was filmed.
And we find out what made Mayhem say this.
I've been to jail twice in drag, though. I beat everyone.
All right, Monet. We've been gone for a minute, but we back.
It's all your fault.
Explain to me how it's my fault, please. I'm all ears.
It's your fault because I've been trying to get us together to do this for so long, but you've been so busy with your show.
And you're up to your elbows in bullshit. And if any of the fans believe the bullshit that Monet Exchange is peddling right now, I got some land I want to sell you in Florida.
Can I just tell you, you are in full on NeNe Leakes mode. Bullshit, you are going in.
Cause you full of shit. Now I see why NeNe Leakes. You are Star Jones.
No, I see why NeNe Leakes. No, I'm Kenya Moore. I'm Kenya Moore. This is NeNe and Kenya season 6, I think it was, or season 7.
Now you were Star Jones trying to act dignified. I don't engage in behavior like that. Why can't we talk to each other like ladies? And NeNe was like, "Fuck you." But people are really loving Sibling Rivalry Podcast.
I know. Can I just tell you, when I go out to cities and places and stuff, people are really like, "Oh my God, I love your podcast. It's like one of my favorite things to listen to." And like, it's like really obviously I love doing this because I love doing anything with you. But it's really cool to have people really receive it well, and people like really want to hear what you and I have to say about stuff. Oh, they want to hear what I have to say. They want to listen to you scream about what your feelings.
I'm sure. Well, I realized that people would like this podcast because all of our friends love listening to us argue with each other.
And it's not us arguing with each other. It's me saying something and you weaseling your way semantically around everything I say.
Money, that is not even remotely the case.
All right, bitch. Whatever.
Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, today we have two amazing interviews continuing our Bye Girl Bye series.
Which was my suggestion. I'm kidding. It was your suggestion.
We are stepping back in. First, we're going to be interviewing a New York City nightlife queen who actually, I was one of her. She said I was one of her first drag shows that she saw in New York City. And then she also worked at Look Queen, which is where you and I both worked together. And now she's currently the host of Look Queen.
Yes, my name is Dusty Ray Bottoms. Can I just say, her fucking name, I thought her name was a play on Dirty Red Bottoms. Cause that's like something in the hood, like you know these bitches that go by Red Bottoms, but they should be crusty and dirty. I thought her name was a play on that, but it's just a play on her actual boy name, which is a guy.
Yeah, her real name is Dustin Rayburn, and her drag name is Dusty Ray Bottoms.
So in my phone, I have her saved as Dirty Red Bottoms.
I do. Also, total side note: Dusty and her boyfriend are cute.
Oh, they're very cute.
Trade the house down. A little gay trade, but still trade.
Oh, Bob, that's rude.
Saying that they're gay?
But, like, you said it like it was a bad thing. You're like, they're gay.
No, that was you. That's how you read it. That has nothing to do with me, Miss Thing. That is all you and your internalized whatever it is you got going on over there. Anyway, so let's jump into that. So let's give her a call, okay?
Yeah, I love her.
I'm keeping that cough in, Monet.
That was Dusty, first of all. That wasn't even me.
Was it really you, Dusty?
Yeah, I just knocked everything over.
It just sounded like a really manly, gruff cough, so I assumed it was Monet.
It was me, you nasty witch.
Was it really? I knew it was you.
This is why I love Dusty, because Dusty doesn't treat me like this. Dusty is very nice and kind.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then maybe you and Dusty should have a podcast called The Dusty Sponge.
Dusty Sponge. I'm so into that. Oh, my God, Dusty. Fuck Bob. Fuck Sibling Rivalry. You and I are going to go on the road, girl.
Let's do it, girl.
Call it Never Loved Your Sponge.
Yeah, and then we'll end every show with Pound the Alarm. Pound the Alarm.
Dusty, you are so stupid. Can I just say, Dusty? Okay, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but one, we were in the basement of the Monster, me and Dusty, and the song Pound the Alarm came on. Do you remember this, Dusty?
I do remember.
And then you said, ugh, I had to lip sync to this song. And without thinking, it just never occurred to me. I said, oh my God, Monet lip synced to a Nicki Minaj song too. And I'm like, two Nicki Minaj songs in one season?
Yeah, and then, I looked at him and I was like, cool, Bob, cool.
It just didn't even... I never put one and two together. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We were in the basement at the Monster. And I was like, that is so crazy that you guys both had to lip sync on two separate occasions to one artist on the same season. That is wild.
You know, that is just the type of insensitive asshole that Bob the Drag Queen is. I just want everyone to know.
Why you're trying to push this narrative that I am mean, nasty, and insensitive, but it's not working. And no one believes you. Dusty, I just want to say, I want to start off by saying that I was so proud of you. And I told Monet this. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of all of y'all. Especially you, Cracker, and Monet for, I don't know, being on the show and fiercely representing yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you. It was quite the trip.
Right, girl? Like, it is like it is all fine and dandy to sit in a bar and at a viewing party and watch the show and critique it. And then also to like say, if I was there, I would do this, girl. But when you are there, when you are really going and doing the thing, girl, it is like a different beast.
It's crazy.
It's like one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
And by the time you get to that lip sync, your body is broken. You're exhausted. You're digging deep to muster up anything to do on that stage.
Hello.
And the thing is, it resets every time. Like, I don't know how I was during y'all season, but during my my contract's over far enough that I can talk about it now. During my season, we filmed every day except for Sunday. We only had one day off. It was Sunday. We filmed episodes Monday through Friday, and we did all of our interviews on one day on Saturday.
Wow.
So we never had days off, and we were in, we stayed in Burbank, California, which wasn't very far from, which is maybe 30 minutes from the studio. Okay. And you never really get a chance to reset. Like, it's never like, ooh, that was a lovely weekend. Now let's go back into the stressful thing called Drag Race, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
There was never a chance. And it was very like, you may have 4 hours of sleep tonight, but you can also take a wig home to style if you want to.
That used to gag me. But also, you would feel happy and lucky to take home a wig.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you are stressing out, and they'd be like, all right, everyone can take one thing home. And I remember one time, like Thorgy took home this mohawk that she styled, which she didn't even end up wearing it. She styled it, but she didn't wear it. And then, like, that was also the same season episode where Naomi finished her scarecrow outfit in the hotel room. She did the whole thing with hot glue and safety pins.
I mean, it is one of the fierce, to me, it was like one of the fiercest looks from your season, no shade.
It was cool. It was really great.
It's sitting in my basement right now at my apartment.
I know. I can't believe you just have it in your home. Anyway, so Dusty, do you feel like, is there anything that from our season that you feel that you did that adequately represented you in the time that you were there?
You know, I think I had a short run, but I think my run was a very an effective one.
Oh, totally.
I think that I was very true to who I was. The most time I shined in the acting challenges, which is something that I pride myself on. Mm-hmm. And I only really had one runway look that I was embarrassed about, and that's my feather look. So other than that, like I treated everyone very kindly and with respect, and I'm very proud of my run.
I will say your suit one, the stripe one, I mean, looking at it there, I was like, oh, that's cool. But like seeing it on TV too, it's like, oh my God. Because like you see you doing the runway walk and how you like really made that character come through. It's like one of the best looks from our season.
Thank you. I loved it. Thank you.
I loved your striped Beetlejuice jacket. And right? you did have a short run, but we can all agree on one thing. That your run lasted longer than you, Haas.
Bob, you are so rude.
You're terrible.
Oh, he's the worst. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, America.
Terrible.
that is a fact. It did last
triggered.
Also, on Fashion Photo Review, they said that look was inspired. Was it inspired by that doll thing?
Yeah, it absolutely was inspired by a Jason Wu doll.
Word.
A lot of my looks, my finale gown that I'm working on right now is actually inspired off of a fashion Barbie doll. And I look through these designer dolls and I see a lot of things that I've never seen on a runway before. So I'm like, why don't we take this and make it real life?
Work, girl.
Also, are you stunned at the fact that Anna Kendrick fully reposted you on Instagram?
I can't believe it. It was so crazy.
Wait, I missed this. What did she do?
My bathing suit for the last episode and Anna Kendrick has. So she posted a picture of her on her boat with me next to her.
I see that. Yeah. Work.
The photo now has 394,000 likes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Come on, Anna Kendrick. That's the girl from Full House, right?
No, that's the girl from Pitch Perfect.
Oh yes, that's what I. All right, yes, that's what I meant.
She's also from Cinderella.
I love Anna Kendrick. She's the one from Cups. She's Cups, the Cups girl.
Yeah, she's the Cups girl. I love Anna Kendrick. That bitch.
Yeah.
Now,
let's talk about like one of your most controversial moments was, so we get out there, we do episode one, the first runway, and Michelle Visage is like, don't ever do your signature look again. The look that you have made very popular, very well known. How did you feel? And I remember I was like, what the fuck? How are they going to tell her not to do dots? Did you not see her casting tape? This is like her signature look.
Yeah, it was the, I mean, girl, you were there with me and you knew right when after I got that critique, like I was kind of shook.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like I looked around the room and I saw that I was kind of the oddball out with my makeup, that everyone else was like serving lady and I was serving a weirdo. So it really shook me. And what I was planning on was I was banking on the next episode to be an acting challenge. And for me to nail that, and then I was going to do the runway how I would want to do my makeup for the runway, since I gave them three consecutive episodes of no dots.
Yeah.
You did still get to do your, you still did your little baby dots. You just did a bunch of little baby dots instead.
Yeah. But then I was like, I probably shouldn't do that again, and I should probably give it. I felt it just like really shook me. And going through the competition and just, I know that I was cast for a reason and I need to stick to my guns by why I was cast. But like looking around the room and seeing everyone else, it just like really messes with your head in the competition. And so I just like, tried to do what everyone else was doing so I could get through a critique or give the judges what they wanted.
Well, Michelle Visage is legendary for giving people advice that gets them sent home.
Right.
It did not get you sent home that time. It actually it voted well for you.
Right.
Wait, Bob, what are you talking about? Where is this proof?
Well, Michelle Visage told Max Mlanafy to stop wearing gray hair. And then Max Mlanafy stopped wearing gray hair. And then Max Mlanafy went home. Michelle Visage told Derek Barry to work on the eyebrows. Derek Barry
changed the eyebrows. Derek Berry got critiqued heavily for the eyebrows and went home. So you keep, there's a lot of stuff like that in the show.
Right. Very that.
Very that. Oh my God. I love your relationship with Monique because you are a very very outspoken white wallflower from Kentucky, and she is a very loud and brash black bitch from Kansas City, and I just love y'all's relationship. It cracks me up.
I love her. It's the best.
Just two Southern women hanging out, and they're all together, honey.
Yep.
Now, and talk about your real controversial moment. The truly controversial moment was the argument with the Vixen and Aquaria.
Oh, boy.
You were essentially Aquaria's undoing because you said, well, what's the difference between the Vixen making a snide comment and you making one? And Aquaria did not have an answer. And then, you know, to quote the book, things fall apart. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, the thing about that is so much happens so much happens on camera, and there's only so much time for the show, and there's only so much they can show. We didn't go on to see that Aquaria and I, like, talked about our past situations. We both got up, we hugged each other, we sorted it out, we made it all good. But that's like all I can say for me and Aquaria. That's not what happened for her and Vixen, and you're like, all of that still kept going. But like, I was pretty certain to like, well, whatever the problem is, Aquaria, this is why there's a reaction. This is my experience with you. So let's fix it and move forward from here. And I think Aquaria was receptive to that. And that's what we did. And if you saw on the fourth episode, in Untucked, Aquaria was very consoling and pep-talking me before I went out to do the lip sync.
Yeah.
And I think that that Aquaria has actually been really good about her social media response to this whole issue. You know, she posted on her Twitter, she basically said, if you're still trying to defend me against the Vixen, I'm blocking you and on Twitter. Like, I'm not here to defend that behavior. I was wrong, and I'm not about that life. I can't remember the exact tweet, but that was essentially the context. And I thought that was pretty pretty smart of her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very. She's great. Yeah,
agreed. The other thing that I want to ask you about, Ms. Dusty Ray Bottoms, was the acting challenge. I watching it back. Obviously, we watched it when we were there, but watching it again on television, I thought that you were the best one from your team.
Thank you.
And they were judging individually. You should have, in my opinion, I felt like you should have been at the top because your crazy psychopath lady was really fucking fierce.
Thank you. Well, the thing that probably kept me from being in the top was my runway that night. It was kind of rough.
Yeah, but some other ones were rough and they were up there too. I'm not gonna say no names. You know what I mean?
Do I have to be the Vixen? Call them out. Say their names. Say their names.
Too vague.
Right. No. Now I have to ask you probably the most controversial question that we ask every single person who comes on our podcast.
Oh God.
Which is, don't be afraid, don't be intimidated, but was the sponge dress ugly or was the sponge dress beautiful?
I think it was ugly. I'm sorry.
Dusty, I am so mad at you.
No, you come on, girl.
You told me it was cute when we were there.
Did I?
Yes, you did, bitch.
But probably then I also storming told you, like, her. 10 minutes later, I changed my mind, I think.
You did say that. You were like, girl, that's cute. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like over there in my corner working, and Dusty goes, come on, girl, I changed my mind. I was like, well, too late, bitch. I'm walking on the runway.
Yeah, probably once you added the bubbles. Is
what you get. Right. Bob, let us all relive that damn white lace fantasy you made for your little makeover. Let's not even get into it.
Oh, yeah, boy.
I look great. And not to mention, on that particular episode, I would like to remind you that I made two outfits, one for me and one for my person.
Anyway, so We are all Look Clean alumni, a party that I started in at the Monster a few years ago.
Now, you know that's a fact. Do not even try to... But also, Monet has this thing on the podcast where she likes to say things that she knows full on are not facts, but she acts like they are. So just for the listeners to know, I started a party at the Monster called Look Queen. I started it with Vicky Villanez, Monet Exchange, Miss Cracker, and who am I forgetting?
Yeah, there's Tara, missing one person. Heim. Was it really Tara?
Yeah,
Tara
at the time.
She was Tara at the time.
Yeah. And Tara listens to the podcast, and she's going to be very upset that I almost forgot her, but I did remember. and then
today's
Dusty.
Her birthday.
Is it today, really? Oh,
yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Tara Heimann.
Happy birthday, Tara Heimann.
And then we decided to do something called the Look Queen pageant. And Dusty Ray Bottoms is the very first winner. You can, in fact, I'm going to put her her winning performance on my Facebook page, and I'll tweet it out so you guys can see it. It's really, really amazing. And then also our second winner was Aquaria. A year later, it was Aquaria.
Yep.
There we go. Bob loves to... Here we go. Continue.
Here go what?
About all the Drag Race girls
Aquaria,
that were...
Aquaria won Look Queen, Monet.
I know that
Monet loves to just scoff and... insinuate anger at everything I say on the podcast. I mean, you've noticed this, right? Like, you see the theme here, right?
Well, I think it's like a common theme with Monet, I feel.
Ooh! It is.
She's like, got Asia coming for her. She's got Bob coming for her.
Oh, girl.
It's a
real guy. But, you know, people just do that when they're threatened. So keep on, continue, Bob.
Yes. Yes, universe, I am threatened by Monet. The reason I mentioned that Dusty Ray Bottoms and Aquaria both won Look Queen is because I am threatened by Monet Exchange. I know it doesn't make any sense, but I promise you that's why I did it. Anyways.
We also had Alexis Michelle, Aja.
All right.
Who else?
Sasha.
Sasha Velour.
Yeah.
Girl, everyone with the exception of Yuha, who has come to Drag Race since season 8, has been through RuPaul's Drag Race. Every New York City girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also,
our third Miss Look Queen is Miss Sugarcane, and she just stepped up to start hosting Look Queen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So hopefully we can get her in for season 11.
Oh, my God. That would be fierce. I hope she does get on. I like Sugarcane. I've only worked with her like maybe once or twice, but she was very delightful.
She's great. She makes all of her own costumes. The bitch is 40.
Is she really?
Yeah, she would slay all the young bitches.
Is she really 40?
Yeah, girl. Our cast was young. We had the oldest person was 34 in our cast.
Which was ages old fucking ass.
Yeah.
Well, how old is Mayhem?
Oh, no, Mayhem is older. Mayhem like 35?
Okay, 35, I think so.
Yeah, Mayhem.
I can tell Monet that Mayhem is older than me. Monet is like, what? Mayhem's older than you? And I'm like, yes, there are people older than me, believe it or not.
Well, to quote a really funny comic, Mayhem is aging like fine wine and you aging like cottage cheese, bitch.
Monet, you cannot try to take my own jokes and use them against me.
Dusty, also, when we did Press Week, one of my favorite things was when we did the Vice thing and seeing you and Mark. Okay, let me just say this. I have had the pleasure of finding love in my life, but you have, and with your lovely partner man, Mark, and watching y'all do that interview together was so fucking cute and gave me lots of hope for my future.
Oh, work. He's great. I really lucked out with him, and I was lucky enough that I met him right before I started drag.
Work.
Or maybe he wouldn't be here today because he told me he does not like drag queens when I first met him. But now he loves
drag queens. How did y'all meet?
What happened?
How did y'all meet? Off the internet or in real life?
Oh, no. We worked across the street from each other. I was serving tables at Dos Caminos on Park Avenue, and he was across the street at the Hurricane Club, I think. And we would have to take a break at the same time, and we would go down the street at this bar called Wally's, and we would... Wahoo's? Wahoo's. And we would always just like get margaritas, get drunk before we had to wait tables. And so I just like, I know. And so I just left him my number one day, and we text for a couple days. Then like a month went by, and then I was helping Tara Hyman at Our Lady of Saliva.
Work.
At the Ritz. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was covered in blood because she was like zombie Minnie Mouse and she ate me. And then I was standing outside. Mark was smoking a cigarette. And I was like, hey, don't I know you? And he looked at me and he was so rude. He was like, no. I was like, I think I've seen you somewhere. He's like, well, I've worked in a club, so you've probably seen me around. I was like, no, I don't think so. And then I finally got it out of him. I was like, do you remember that guy that gave you his number at a bar a couple months ago? He's like, yeah. I was like, that was me. And he was like, oh, really? And I was like, cool, bye. Because he was so sick. And then we were supposed to have a date the next day, and I stood him up.
Were y'all going back to that bar or what?
No, we were supposed to have a dinner date, and I stood him up. And then we actually rescheduled for the next day, and we went out. And then we spent like every day together since that day.
Right, y'all are always together. Why did you stand him up?
Because he was a dick. He was he was really rude when I was like, hey, I think I know you. And he was like, cool, sure you do. And like turned his back to me. He was like, he didn't want to give me any information. I was like, all right, bye.
That is so funny. Which is funny now because if either you know Mark and Dusty, Mark is always at Look Queen in the audience cheering on Dusty Ray Bottoms, filming videos for Dusty. I mean, the biggest
Mark likes styles your hair.
He does. He does hair now. He's taken on everything. Wigs by Mr. Bottoms.
And also to hear that he was cutting to you is so crazy because Mark is literally one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Right. Yeah, he's so sweet. He's such a little doll. All right. Smiling. He's just always so adorable. They're a really cute couple.
Thank you.
God damn it. In an odd way, you kind of look alike.
No, they don't. That's just how people just think that about couples. When couples just are together for a long time, they don't really start to look like your brain things. I don't think I look like it.
That's how I felt about like Taye Diggs and Idina Menzel. They just kind of look alike.
They do kind of look alike, though.
Also, can we talk about this is a nice little segue. One of the cutest things that I ever saw Mark do, it was truly, truly adorable, was when me and Mitch helped you produce your music video.
Yes.
And so in order to let us hear the song, because it had not been recorded yet, Mark sent us a recording of himself singing the song Never Loved You. I still have it saved on my
phone. I love it. I think it's the cutest thing ever.
It is so adorable. He's out of breath the whole time. He did the whole thing in one take, and he's like holding a phone, and like I can feel like he's precariously balancing a speaker in the other hand while trying to sing the song into the phone, running out of breath. It's one of the cutest things. I was like, wow, he really loves his man to send this recording out into the universe, because it was pretty bad.
I need to be a man like that, honey.
He's the best. There's no complaints here.
No, he's great. He's really, really the Bottoms family. The Bottoms is. So if you guys would please do yourself the honor and check out Never Loved You on YouTube. That's NEVA. You had to spell it weird. LAVDYA, right?
YAH.
YAH. God damn it.
Yeah, literally, you have to be a dumb bitch from Kentucky. That's how we spelled it.
Never loved ya. Dusty, I'm just so proud of you. You really did a good job. You fucked it up. You tore it down. You beat it up. You really just did a good job in this season.
Thank you so much.
And on top of that, I believe you did one of the hardest things to do on reality TV, which is to stay within your moral compass and be a good person.
Thank you.
Agreed. Adore you.
Because that's not easy. We'll see if Monet can maintain that for a couple more episodes.
Well, bitch, you sure did it. So I got to keep the family name somehow.
I sure did, honey. I maintain my integrity. I did the damn thing. You see how Monet always comes to me?
You tried to physically assault Derek Berry on TV. You were rude to Lucian Piovani.
I did not try to physically assault Okay, you physically assaulted everyone's eyes with an ugly fucking sponge dress. That's the real
assault. Oh, no.
We need, Mitch, we need to keep a counter of who loves the sponge dress. I think so far the only person who liked it was... Yuha said, well, no, Yuha didn't even like, Yuha was like, well, I'm not saying that it was Monet's fault, but maybe the amount of time she had. I think Calorie's the only one who liked the sponge dress.
Well,
no, it was Mateo. Mateo liked it. That's what it was. Mateo liked the sponge dress.
I'm about to say, Calorie on TV said that she tried to come for me, girl.
The sponge dress is the true controversial queen of the season. The sponge dress is going to be on All Stars 4.
Oh my god, if it makes it, we're done.
The sponge dress versus Ornacia versus the purse, who's going to win, girl?
Oh girl, the sponge.
Also, by the way, just so you guys know, yesterday I had to go I ran out of sponges and I was in my apartment and I was like, god damn it, I need sponges. Like, I have to go to the store just to buy sponges. So that was kind of embarrassing for me to admit that out loud. Then I had to run to rehearsal. And also, I didn't want to be seen in public buying sponges. So I had my boyfriend.
Why? That's so weird.
I had to have my boyfriend buy them for me so I couldn't be seen supporting Monet in public.
Sir, are you Monet Exchange?
Can I tell you a quick story that used to tickle me? One time, okay, so Monet Exchange is bald, Monet Exchange is black, and Monet used to work at the Monster. Now, one time, we and Monet were getting out of her car, and Monet's legal name is Kevin, right? Yes. So one day, we got out of Monet's car, and we were just walking, and Monet wasn't wearing her wig, or maybe she wasn't wearing a wig that night. And then this guy just says, Kevin. And then Monet turned around and was like, do you remember this, Monet?
Yeah, I remember this. You turned around to you like, what the fuck?
I was like, this guy just called you Kevin? And he goes, are you Kevin? And Monet was like, yeah, I'm Kevin. And the guy was like, I have not seen you in probably 20 years. What are you doing? And I was like, Monet, he goes, you still work at the Monster? And I said, Monet, he thinks you're Kevin Aviance.
That is hilarious.
So instead of just being like, no, I told her that instead of being like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not Kevin Avias, Monet said, yeah, girl, I'm still here. It's classic Monet, doesn't want to let anybody down. So she assumed the character of Kevin Aviance just so this guy wouldn't feel stupid. That is the good person Monet is.
Yeah, girl, I'm still here. Still kicking, girl.
And then she limped into the Monster. Work.
Funny.
Oh, my God. Jesse, well, we love you so much, girl.
Thank you. I love you all. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us on Sibling Robbery. Please check out Dusty Ray Bottoms' video, Never Loved You, on YouTube.
So good.
On Instagram, on Twitter, on... Do you have Snapchat?
No, I don't have
Snapchat. Snapchat is dead, Bob. Nobody uses that.
I'm asking. If she did have, you don't want to insult her. I don't use Snapchat, but I don't know what Dusty's life is about. Maybe she's a Snapchat girl. I have no clue. All right, Dusty, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you all next time here on Sibling Rivalry.
Mwah.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you.
Never loved ya.
Welcome to the Dusty Ray Bottoms Show. If you got a problem with it, you can email my producer. Shit again, I see online. You try to...
All right, that was our interview with Miss Dusty Ray Bottoms.
I just love Dusty.
No, she's sickening. She's epic. I'm very proud of her, and I love her song.
Oh, I know, right? Never Loved Ya.
It's giving me some real Blink 182 moments.
Oh, it is, girl. This takes me back to the summer of 2002. When I had just discovered MTV Hits on channel 188 on Time Warner Cable and Blink 182.
You probably a Benji kid standing outside of Times Square waving a big banner that says Justin Timberlake noticed me.
No, that no, no.
Are you? Were you up at 106 and Park?
Which is a gag. Did you know? Like, did you know that?
So like, what's that?
Oh my god! White people probably really don't even know what that is. You're so right.
Wait, was it actually at 106 and Park?
No, it was not at actual 106 and Park, girl. Is this your first time doing television?
But TRL was actually in Times Square.
Okay, but the show was not Times Square. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, but it was set in Times Square. You could look out the window. So I thought they were actually at 106th Street and Park Avenue.
Also, if they really were filming up there, girl, that was like back before white folk live up there. It was not a very pretty neighborhood to be filming up at.
For those of you who don't know, 106th and Park is Spanish Harlem.
It is.
For those of you who do not know, Spanish Harlem is right above the Upper East Side on the east side of the park.
I used to get a lot of trade up in Spanish Harlem back in the day on 102nd and 3rd.
Money, what were you doing up in Spanish Harlem if you're from Brooklyn?
Because I went to choir rehearsal in Harlem on 135th and Lexington and Lenox.
During school?
Yeah, that's where we had our vocal department.
Oh my god. Were you in high school?
Yes, Bob.
Wait, your high school was like not on one big campus?
No, we would do like math and science and shit down on 48th Street between 8th and 9th. And then at 1 o'clock, we would get on the bus and go do choir and music up on the thing.
That is very New York City. Take the J train to trigonometry and then get on the Q and go do reading and then get on the E train and go do your physical education classes, bitch. We were in one school. You didn't go any. There were no trains, no buses. It was just Mara High School.
What was the name of your high school?
Mara, like tomorrow, but Mara.
There's a school in New York called Edward. What was the name after Edward R. Murrow?
No, I don't know who the fuck is that. It's Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W, Morrow.
It just named after some dude that worked at the Waffle House.
Well, I don't know why it was. Well, it was in Morrow. It was in Morrow. The town.
Oh, Morrow the town. Okay, well, who is the town named after?
I don't know, girl. I don't know.
Brooklyn is named after he was a conquistador.
What's that queen name? Brooklyn. I know Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is down in Nashville. I love Brooklyn. He's so hot. Can I just tell you, speaking of Brooklyn, that was a bonding point for me and Mayhem. So obviously I was a big Mayhem fan before the show started. I follow her on all the shit. And then Brooklyn Heights and I were following each other. And then Mayhem commented on a picture of him. I think it was him, like, scantily clad. There was a booty cheek out. There was like a left testicle hanging somewhere. And I commented, like, of course, heart eyes, smiley face emoji. Like, oh my God, obsessed, love you. And then Mayhem commented. Like, she replied to my comment. She's like, that's my man, bitch, back up. I was like, no, he's not. That's my man, bitch. And that's how Mayhem and I bonded before Drag Race.
Speaking of Mayhem, we have another interview with the one and only, the L.A. party legend. Mayhem. She is the party girl. She is here to turn the party. The party doesn't start until Mayhem walks to the door.
Look who... Can you finish her entrance? Do you remember her entrance line?
She said, the party, I'm here to crash the party. What was it?
Wow. Look at you doing your research about our fucking guests.
Monet, shut your entire mouth.
You're a mess. You're a mess, baby. It is. So I guess, look who just decided, to crash this party.
By the way, speaking of mess, Monet, because since you're trying to shame me and put my tea out there, you guys will know we film our episodes, like we record them all around. They're not always in the same order. We just did the interview with Aja, and Monet did not even listen to Aja's music.
Yes, I did. You are so full of shit.
I knew you hadn't listened to the music. You were like, no, I'm fully aware. I know everything. I know all the stuff. See, and you're laughing because you're lying.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing because you were so full of shit. Just because I got you, you trying to make up some thing to get me. I think I was on the phone with you when I watched Brujeria.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
The music video, it has Barbie's Addiction in it.
Anyways. You watch one video, so now you know the whole fantasy, right? Anyway, listen. Did you even know that? You didn't even know. What's the name of Aja's EP?
It is Feeling Myself or I Love Myself.
No! See? It's called In My Feelings. See? Way to actually do your homework on your guest. Very professional.
Oh my God. Just to get you, I am going to, first of all, I have the fucking thing pre-ordered. I am going to screenshot and post on my Twitter when I hopefully it shows when you pre-ordered.
Wow, Monet, you really did your research on your guest. You don't know every single thing about your guest. You should really be ashamed. Yeah, you don't like it when somebody do it to you. Anyway, this podcast is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's always you. You are the literal worst. Oh my God.
But I literally just did the same thing you did to me, but I did it back to you.
Well, you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right, bitch.
But three lusts make a right.
Wait, is that right? Wait, left, then
you
left.
You left, so you get back to where you were. All right, we need to call Mayhem.
Okay, yeah, let's call Mayhem. Call her.
Let's call her.
Mayhem, are you in a storage unit?
No, I'm in my garage.
Oh, come on, garage.
Yeah, I was trying to organize drag right now.
That's the California life, honey. Garage, car, house. All smaller words.
Just rich and lovely, honey.
Monet doesn't have a car, which is also her bedroom and her kitchen. I'm kidding. New York City life right there.
How have you been, girl?
I've been good.
Is life being very nice to you?
Life is good. Life is good. I'm not mad.
So ladies and gentlemen, we have the lovely, the illustrious, the legend, Mayhem Miller in the motherfucking house.
It's me.
Now, I worked with Mayhem on Cherry Pop before my season premiered. And before she was even on The Race.
I
watched Cherry Pop. Cherry Pop is a very good movie. Mayhem and Detox's a little scene together cracked me all the way up, because Mayhem is giving you like angry black bitch, and Detox giving you hood white bitch. It was very great.
Also, no one knows Mayhem never knew any of her lines. Her script was right under, like, we had this little work session. So everyone else, like, would know their lines, except Mayhem and Detox, who were constantly, like, reading, like, jamming the lines in seconds before the take. They were like, all right, we're going for a take. And then Mayhem was the worst about lines, like, the worst.
The thing was, Assad was like, I just want you guys to have fun, just so improv it. And so I was like, okay, so that means I don't have to learn my lines, man. And we were drunk all the time.
Also, because the real gag was Mayhem. I was in LA, but I don't have any gigs or anything in LA, especially at the time. So I was just there. The only thing I was doing was Cherry Pop. Meanwhile, Mayhem and Detox were sometimes coming straight from the gig to the Cherry Pop. They would be like, the after hours, and then straight to the sit. I'd be like, this makeup, I think y'all been living in this makeup for a hot little second.
Bob would get on set and be like, wait, did y'all even leave? Did you come straight here from the gig? Or be like, oh yeah, girl, we've been
because we had some early ass hours, some early fucking hours, girl. We were like Assad, girl, drag queens. Do not live this lifestyle. We are not early morning girls. We are not about that early morning business, I mean.
Right.
I would have to drive from West Hollywood to the Valley to go pick up Detox and then drive downtown to go to the set at like 6 a.m. And we had just got home at 3 a.m, you know, from the gig. So it was like,
work. Oh,
it was a lot.
Cherry Pop was a low budget film, not like super low budget, but I mean, for Hollywood standards, it was pretty low budget. So we were shooting in like this warehouse turned film studio. It actually looked pretty nice. But it was like way the fuck up. We were not in Studio City. We were not on the Warner Brothers lots, bitch. We were downtown in a warehouse. And every 10 minutes or so, a train would drive by.
Faithfully. It was either the trains or the helicopters.
Yeah, I'm looking for escaped convicts in fucking Los Angeles, girl.
Because we were over there by the fucking prison.
The jail, girl. They, we were looking for trade the whole time. I'm looking for some prison trade.
Honey. I was about to say, that sounds like right up me and Mayhem's alley, girl, to get us some prison trade, girl. Yes, ma'am.
We had so much trade on set, though. Them guys were...
Girl, Cody, the doctor.
Oh, fuck, dude.
I know. I keep forgetting to talk about the girls that Cody was. Okay, so Bob, so I don't know about how it was your season, but we had a medic on set. I mean, your season was really low budget, but our season was like legit. So like our season, we had a medic on set, and he is just like beautiful. Like, this is not an exaggeration, like 6'5", so maybe 6'6", built, ripped, beautiful white dude, like who would be our doctor. So Blair St. Clair and all her little innocent ass talking about every day she would have some type of issue. Oh, my ear hurts.
Every day.
Oh, my big toenail hurts. And she would have to go to the medic every morning.
Every day.
We had a medic on set, but it wasn't like I don't think it was a doctor. It was just like someone there to make sure we weren't hurt. And he only stepped in on the day that we went roller skating to make sure, because I fell once. Then Nasha fell during the thing. And I think Kim was always falling, but it wasn't anyone super hot and sexy. And while Monet's calling my season crunchy, I do want to remind you that my season did win an Emmy. Why are you squawking?
First of all, our season's not even done yet, and we're already nominated for like.
You're not already nominated for Emmy. They haven't even released Emmy nominations. And my season was the first season of Drag Race to ever win an Emmy. Why you squawking and why you talking? Okay, Drag Race will win an Emmy for sure.
Oh, bitch, we're gonna win it. We're gonna win a fucking EGOT. We're gonna have EGOTs this season, honey. Emmys, Grammys, Oscars, and Tonys. And these bitches are dramatic as fuck.
With all that crying I did this season, we gonna get something.
Oh, you know, man, let me tell you something that really cracked me up. And Monet will deny it to the end of the world. Monet made fun of me for crying on RuPaul's Drag Race. And then she saw someone else crying. She could be like, why do people cry on TV? I think you look silly. I would never cry if I was on TV. And I'll never forget that day. And I said, you know what, Monet? One day you might be on TV. And I bet you will cry. And Monet was like, not me. I wouldn't cry. Anyway, roll that motherfucking beautiful bean footage, bitch. Because Monet's ass was quivering and her bottom lip was twerking and she was crying and shit. She was like, I was not crying. I was not crying. And I'm like, well, the storyline is different.
I will say this. Like, I don't remember Mayhem crying that much, but like watching it back, I was like, Mayhem did cry a lot. I don't remember you crying that much, though.
No, I didn't cry that much. I cried like first episode.
Uh-huh.
On the runway, I do remember crying that time. And then everything else was like in confessional.
I mean, you know, you cried in Untucked and you were like, it just seems like you were really hard to be here and I'm finally here. Also, when Mayhem cries, you sound like a woman. Like, she's like a woman anyway. But when Mayhem cries, she is a woman. She's like, is that an actual...
I cry in character. I'm Mayhem, so I'm a woman. So I have to cry in character as well.
If I closed my eyes and heard you crying, I'd be like, that must be Aquaria. It is like the cry of a tiny white woman.
I wasn't.
Even my brother was like, he's like, what the fuck? You don't sound like that. I'm like, well, you put a wig on and it changes everything.
I was also Mayhem as a boy. Like, so, Bob, you know this. Like, you wake up in the morning at these early-ass call times. It's like 7 a.m. in the morning. You're like rolling into the van. And while the rest of us, especially me, girl, I literally have a onesie on, still eyeliner on for the night before. Mayhem is prim, fresh cut, Bermuda shorts, but every morning, dressed to the nines. I'm like, how is this bitch dressed like this every day? It would gag us all every morning. Mayhem was like pristine every fucking morning. It was a gag.
You know who is the real opposite? I don't know what the fuck that Vixen was doing. Vixen would just roll out of bed and walk onto the set, girl. Didn't comb her hair.
is this how you dress on the daily, ma'am? Or was this just a drag race thing? Were you just putting on for the cameras, bitch?
No, that's how I dress every day.
Work. It was very impressive.
That's how I dress every day. Like, normally, like, if it's just an easy day, like, I'm in my gym shorts and in a tank top. But other than that, yeah, she's always in little shorts and little button ups. And
oh, girl, it is so grown and sexy. I was like, oh, Marcus, man, you lucky we on set, girl. I'll have to try to get your number in the club.
The thing is, I would let you get it. The girls will always look at me and be like, damn, like every morning I would be dressed up, but like Blair would be like, I like chocolate. And she was in the room next door to me, so I would like tap on the wall.
Like, that's why Blair went to prison, because she liked chocolate. A whole new level. I love that Blair St. Clair is the jailbird of season 10. Like, that is, of all the folks you think it would be, you think it'd be someone like Cameron covered in tattoos or Vixen starting fights. No, it is Blair, I do declare.
I'm surprised because I've been to jail like twice and I was sure enough my mugshot was going to show up at least.
Oh, and really? I didn't know that about you.
Yes.
This is some real stereotypical shit because all three of us have been arrested on this podcast.
And sure, we sure have. Bob, stop talking about business, bitch.
I've been to jail twice in drag, though. I beat everyone.
In drag?
Word.
Okay, girl, in drag, like in full geesh, like heels and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Morgan? The last time I went to jail, Morgan had to come pick me up the next day, and she had to bring me, like, makeup wipes and, like, some boy clothes, because she was like, there's no way you can walk into your house with your parents sitting there and you're in full high horse drag. I was like,
oh, my word. And also, you're in, like, a jail cell, so you don't even have, like, napkins to, like, blot yourself, so you're probably, like, oily as hell by that point.
Lashes were, they made me take off my lashes, they made me take off my nails, the wig had to go. It was a mess. I looked like a hot mess in front of, like,
you were doing some New York City drag circa 2006.
It was bad, because I went in there, I was like, ooh, I look good, watch, I'm gonna get some gel trained up in here, because they were like, we're gonna pick you in the drunk tank with everyone else. I was like, yeah, do it, let's do it. They were like, all right, take off those lashes, sir, and those fingernails, give us that wig, and take off your bra. And I was like,
word, that is
so... I was like, no!
They have, I cannot even imagine. Oh my God. I have a question. How did it feel to win, like, you know, starting season 10, which is obviously a very big season for Dragons, how did it feel to win, like, the first challenge, like, out the gate? Like, that, I mean, that is an honor.
Seriously, the whole winning first challenge, I was like, all right, I can go home. I was like, I'm good. That's all I needed. I solidified my mark on Drag Race. I made it here finally after 10 seasons, and I won the first challenge. Bye.
And you were known to a lot of Drag Race fans, too, because you're friends with a lot of girls who've been on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of them.
Queens who are known for being friends with a lot of girls who are on Drag Race are probably you and probably others, Vicky Vox, who's also a friend of a lot of girls who have been on RuPaul's Drag Race. And also, I mean, when was the last time they had an LA girl on the show that wasn't on All Stars?
Naomi.
Naomi is not from LA. Naomi makes it very clear. Naomi's always, and if you tell her she's from LA, she always goes, I am not from LA.
She's from Redlands.
Okay, Valentina.
Valentina, you're right. Valentina, I guess Valentina's last.
Valentina's LA.
And she is LA native. He's LA native. Where are you from?
I'm from Riverside, which is an hour outside of LA, but I was born and raised in LA.
Work.
Yeah.
Now, I do have a very controversial question to ask you. We ask every guest of our podcast.
Oh, God.
Weigh in honestly. Was the sponge dress ugly or was it fierce?
Okay, I'm gonna be honest because I told her this. I loved the dress. I liked it, and I saw all the work she put into it, and I was like, "Oh, I see what she's doing. That's cute." I felt it. I did.
Thank you, bitch. Bob is just a fucking hater, and he. I remember after the episode, Bob calls it. He goes, "Monet, what the fuck were you wearing?" I was like, first of all.
Also, by the way, I'm not alone. And I'm not like some lone solo person hating that sponge dress.
I still have my little sponge, too.
Yes!
I saved everything from set. I saved everything. I was like, I'm so proud that it took me forever to get here. I'm keeping every fucking little thing I can steal. I was just grabbing shit.
Same, girl. My house is riddled with shit from Drag Race.
When Thorgy left, she took an entire bolt of fabric. She went over to the wall, took an entire bolt of fabric off the wall, rolled it up, and stuffed it in her suitcase.
Is there anything that you regret from the season?
No, actually. I have fun. As stressful as it was, I had a good time. I was happy with the way I played the game. I don't regret anything.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I was trying to tell. Well, I'm not. Who is it? Me and Aquaria. We were together recently, and we were talking about. No, it was me and Eureka. We were talking about. So one day, I forgot what episode it was after. We all went back to the workroom after the elimination. So I want to say it was after episode four, Last Ball on Earth. And Mayhem, there was this little note on Mayhem's station. And Mayhem... Mayhem thought that he was trying to get her cast like a spell on her. I was like... Mayhem is like one of my... Also, I want to say this. I've, like, stanned Mayhem Miller for years. Like, I follow her on Instagram. I follow her on Twitter. I was like, I tried to add on Facebook. She, like, declined my request, like, 8 times. I was like, hey, Mayhem...
I did not. You're a liar mouth.
I sure did, girl. And then, so we get back to the workroom, like, cleaning up. Like, cameras are off and everything. And Mayhem goes, girl, you see this? And what did the note say, Mayhem?
Okay, so, see, I'm really upset about this because it didn't make camera, it didn't air, it didn't make the show, and I was hoping that it would because it was so shady and it was so dramatic, and I was like, okay, what the fuck is going on?
What was it?
We got back to the from the runway, and I was at my station cleaning up, and I see this note. And it's right on top of my brushes, and it's like, it was like, boo-hoo, bitch, you're next to go. And I was like,
what?
Oh, yes. And so it flipped me, because I was like, wait, what? And so I'm looking around the workroom, and I'm like, I don't think anyone would write this to me. I'm like, what the fuck? I thought I was cool with everyone. So I was like, I'm just going to call some girls one by one over to look at it. So I called Eureka over, and she kind of acts funny about it. She was like, oh, my God, girl. And I'm like... And so I'm like, so then I called Vixen over, and I'm like, Vixen, look at this. And she's like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, I don't know. And so, that, like, one by one, I would just, like, ask girls to come over. I'm like, hey, can you come over really quick? And then it was just weird. I was just like, it just felt like a setup, and someone was trying to fucking get me...
Oh, girl, the whole next day, it was like us trying to figure out who left this note on Mayhem Station. And like this, like, shame.
And you never got to the bottom of it.
No.
You know, some bitch is lying their ass off. Some bitch is lying. You know, has, some bitch.
Or who went home before? Can you imagine Dusty did it? Because Dusty was the only one who went home
before. I could not imagine Dusty.
Dusty wouldn't do that.
Trying to figure out who wrote Boo Hoo Bitch. And next thing, this feels like when they're trying to figure out who bit Beyonce on the cheek at the party. Well, like, well, by approximate elimination, you know, it couldn't have been this person because they went in there and so and so.
It could have been Dusty, bitch.
What is your theory that it was Dusty? Would Dusty come back? Or do you think Dusty wrote it on her way out the door?
Right, that's what I'm thinking. I think Dusty did it.
Why would Dusty write Boo Hoo Bitch to Mayhem?
Why do people do weird fucking shit? You don't know.
But we know you didn't do it.
Because I didn't do it. I told you I was Mayhem. I was at Mayhem stand when Mayhem walked in the room. You can see me. I literally fangirl. I was like, "That's Mayhem Miller." Like,
Monet, maybe you're intimidated by Mayhem because you were very impressed by her. You follow on Instagram. So you said, "I gotta throw this bitch up her game." So you wrote a little note that "Boo hoo, bitch, you're next to go." You try to bring her down a level because you felt like she was too unbeatable. That sounds more likely than Dusty just did some weird shit.
Or maybe you fucking did it, you shady ass bitch.
Maybe I did. Maybe I'm a producer on RuPaul's Drag Race season 10.
No, but it was the gag and mystery of everything. I was like, wait a minute, who would do this shit?
Yeah.
I would have been comparing handwriting. I'd be like, you write it down. Now you write it down. Let me see how you write your E. Everybody write down a capital B right now. I want to compare. I'll be doing forensics.
I think at that point when I did see it, I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I am over it. I was so done.
Yeah.
I was so done. I was pissed off. I was like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with this shit.
Well, I have a question for Monet. I was so mad at Monet when I was watching the lip sync back. Monet, why did you try to take off those chaps knowing you couldn't get them over your feet? Monet was trying to take her pants off. Monet was dragging these chaps around the stage.
Okay, because I think all of us have had to lip sync for our lives before. And we all know that when you're in that situation, you feel desperate. Like, you don't, like, you are just trying to do whatever you can to stay, girl. Bitch, why did you take that piece of cardboard out and lose and break your earring? Looking crazy.
No, but the difference is you were dragging around the chaps of your pants one day, stepping on them, just climbing over the chaps, not being able to figure it out.
That's right, girl. You're trying to stay.
Let me turn now. When RuPaul says the time has come to lip sync for your life, that shit feels scary. It doesn't feel funny. It doesn't feel like a joke. It's not a kiki. It is scary shit.
I think it's the most terrifying thing that I've ever felt in my life. Like, I felt like I left my body for a while.
Right.
It's just weird because you're like, wait, this is not happening. Are you fucking kidding me?
We have also all won a lip sync, too. We've also had RuPaul say, Shantae, you stay. And that, okay, let's go around and say how I feel. How did you feel, Monet, when you heard Shantae, you stay after being in the bottom?
I mean, you feel good, but you definitely feel like your not integrity, but your status in the competition is like you're like the lowest of the low.
You feel knocked down a peg, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I would totally agree with that. Because even though you win your lip sync, it's still like, fuck.
Right.
When I was lip-syncing, first of all, when I was lip-syncing against Derrick Barry, this is going to sound shady, but it's true. When I was lip-syncing against Derrick Barry, girl, and they were like, there was, first of all, as soon as they were like, well, you're lip-syncing against Derrick, and I knew the song, I was like, there's no way Derrick's going to beat me. Not in a million years is Derrick sending me home on a fucking Disco Sylvester song. So I would just I'm safe. They can go to the back, but it's even though I wasn't nervous, I was gonna get sent home. I was still scared because it's just fucking scary.
It is. It's very scary.
Yeah. All right, we gotta wrap up. We have been talking for 26 minutes already. This is gonna be a long ass podcast.
That's because both love Mayhem. Oh, the last thing I want to say: when Bob came back from filming the movie, he was like, "Monet." Well, he was telling me all the girls in the movie. I was like, "Oh, Mayhem Miller." I was like, "I love her." And then he was saying, and then I was like, And he's like, yeah, she's really cool. She's really dope. And I was like, oh, I love Mayhem Miller. I think that he said these words. I think you and Mayhem Miller would get along really well.
Oh, completely. Like, I tell everyone, I'm like, from day one, I loved you, and I loved Vixen. And everyone's always like, what? Why? She's such a bitch. And I'm like, because the one thing I did appreciate about Vixen was you knew exactly who she was.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. You knew
exactly who was. It was not a character. It wasn't fake. It wasn't phony. It was, this bitch is going to tell you exactly what she feels, and it's, you don't have to rethink it. Like, I knew if she went in those confessions, I knew exactly what she probably would say.
Very true. Some of these other bitches, you have no idea. They smile at your face, honey. Then I see confessionals. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, I'll take straight up what shocked me on my season of Drag Race. I was sitting there and they would be like, Bob, who's your best friend here? And I was like, you know what? Thorgy. Thorgy's my best friend here. She's one of my oldest drag friends. I've known her for so long. And they were like, Thorgy, how do you feel about drag? Fuck that bitch. I hate Bob the drag queen. Bob is annoying. And I was in the being like, I love Thorgy. Thorgy's just amazing. What would I do if Thorgy wasn't here? And that bitch was trashing me the whole time. I was like, this is some bullshit. They were all calling me annoying behind my back. I was like, work. Work, work, work.
To be fair, they weren't lying.
Anyway, when is your comedy tour start, Monet?
I just did a tour. I started a tour today. I took a tour around an apartment building in Harlem I'm looking to buy.
Work. There's a great video online of Monet trying to give a tour of an apartment in the Bronx, and she almost gets her ass arrested because she's sneaking into somebody's house. Have you seen this video, Mayhem?
No. When we walked into someone's house?
Yes, honey. I'm starting a whole new series called Exchange Realty, where I just go up to houses and try to get in.
I love it. Mayhem Miller,
both of us love you a lot. You are just a very delightful person. You're very funny. And we had a lot of kikis on set. You are my sister, and I do love you a lot.
I love you both so much. Thank you for having me. I could not, like I said, I told you the other day, I could not imagine anyone else sending me home. You fucking are an amazing queen, and I adore you, and you're so talented, and such a genuine person. So I'm happy that we got to meet, and can't wait for our friendship to blossom.
Yes, baby. Our friendship, not yours and hers, me and her.
Me and Mayhem already had a friendship before either one of us even aired on television, darling.
When we were movie stars.
Yes, man. We are old colleagues, me and Mayhem. Maya Montalcina, Mayhem Miller.
Right?
I think it's in drag, you look like a model of Negra, and out of drag, you look like Octavia Spencer. That's the gag. Oh, right, I love you, fam.
Bye, baby.
All right, love you guys. Mwah.
All right, I love Mayhem.
I do. I listen. I stand for her before the show. I'm gonna continue standing. I love her. You know, she's my flair on Reddit. She is. That is a fact. Mayhem Miller is my flair.
It's so funny. You are so silly. Imagine that your own flair. That is so ridiculous.
Because I love Mayhem.
No, she's sick. She really is one of the prettiest queens out there. She's fucking dropped in gorgeous. Jeez. I would say, honestly, if I was as pretty as Naomi Smalls, you think I'd be telling jokes? You think I'd be trying to crack jokes if I look like fucking Naomi Smalls? No wonder she doesn't tell jokes.
Well, lucky for you, you have a best friend who I do both.
I am the luckiest little devil in the world. All right, thank you guys for joining us on this interview episode of Sibling Rivalry with our continued series, Bye Girl, Bye.
Yes, girl.
Anyway, love you, sis.
Love you, girl.
I mean, you like it now.
I mean, I'm just not gonna fight you anymore. I've just conceded. I am Hillary Rodham Clinton. I finally conceded this election.
You're right. You are conceded.
I look too good to be rocking this. I'm conceited. I got a reason. Sibling Rivalry is proudly presented by The Only Productions.
We'd like to thank Mayhem Miller and Dusty Ray Bottoms for their contributions.
We'd also like to thank Monet Exchange for putting up with Bob's bullshit.
Anyway, and we'd also like to thank our executive producer, Mitch Farino. Thank you for joining us. Peace out.
Bye.